It's such a blessing just to see all of you, to have all of you in front of me, and to be a group. I really feel very close to all of you, and it has been a good energy in this retreat. So I'm almost a bit sad that this retreat is ending. But that's the way it is. And through this closing round, first I will say a few words, very little, and then we'll have a round of sharing where all of you may share something with everybody else. Then we'll do a little forgiveness practice, and then at the end we will dedicate and share all the goodness, all the merits from our practice. So at the beginning of the retreat, I said that, or I explained what the Dhamma Vihari means. A person who dwells in the Dhamma, or a person who puts the Dhamma into practice. And so you are all Dhamma Viharis. And I know you will continue to be Dhamma Viharis. I've got to know you during the past 10 days. And I have come to see that for each one of you, the Dhamma plays a very important role in your life. That it is part of your life. So that you cannot not continue practicing it. And to know this is very heartening for me. Because with that, or because, you know, it's so obvious that you really want to purify your heart and mind, or knowing that you really want to understand things as they are, really understand what really exists in your body, in your heart, in your mind, discovering the universal laws that are not only working in us but also in the universe. Or to know that you work towards inner freedom. Or to know that, you know, you really want to live a life that is based on wisdom and understanding on the one hand, and kindness and compassion on the other hand. And to know that you really want to unfold your human potential, what is possible as a human being, namely to fully develop one's heart and mind. During my years in Burma, or especially at the beginning of my years in Burma, I often heard Burmese people saying, you know, at that time, early 90s, there were not that many foreigners practicing inside the Ujjanaka Center. So Burmese people saying that they really, what they kind of said, admire me, you know, coming from a rich Western country to a poor Asian country like Burma to practice meditation and endure the mosquitoes and the heat and the humidity and so on. But really appreciating that or admiring me for that, because, you know, I would dedicate all my time and effort to practice the Dhamma. And at the same time, they told me that this was actually the best thing one can do with one's life. That I was really fortunate that I could do it. And that day, you know, would may want to practice, but that they couldn't in that expensive way because they had to take care of family members or go work, so to support the family. And after I spent a couple of years in Burma, I had invited my parents to come and visit me in Burma to see the center where I was and to see the countryside, the many pagodas and monasteries. And my parents very happily came. They couldn't speak English, so they would never travel to an Asian country or where they, you know, would need to speak English. But with me being there and with me being their guide, they happily came. And so we hired a car and we traveled through Burma, visiting pagodas and monasteries like on a daily basis. There are so many. And I was a nun. And whenever we visited a pagoda or a monastery, Burmese people, you know, spotting me, because I was usually about one head taller than the Burmese people, and my skin was fair, and for them that was the beauty ideal. Dark skin was not considered beautiful. Fair skin was beautiful. And on top of that, my blue eyes. So people would come up to me with their hands in Anjali and say, "Oh, Seale." Seale is the word to address a nun. "Ah, you are so lucky that you are a nun. In which center do you stay?" So I told them, in the center of Sayadaw Ujjanaka, Chamye Sayadaw, as he is known in Burma. And many people would say, "Ah, yeah, we have heard of him, and yeah," and so on. "Oh, you're really lucky that you can do that. You know, this is really the best thing you can do with your life." And then I said, "Yes, and you know, this is my mother and this is my father." And then the Burmese people, they were so thrilled, you know, they would turn to my parents, still with hands in Anjali, saying, "Oh, your parents, you are the luckiest parents on earth because your daughter is a nun and she's practicing the Dhamma. She's doing the best thing in her life. You know, you can be so proud of your daughter." And they went on. And then I translated for my parents. And this happened for a month, almost every day. And, you know, each day I translated again. And this, I think this really helped my parents to understand that I was not just doing a weird thing in weird clothes, shaped head, but that in Burma, in this culture, was considered to be really something very good. And of course, my parents saw the respect I would get from Burmese people. Some of them, you know, even on the street, going to their knees and bowing down. And so after this first visit to Burma after a month, yeah, my parents had come to understand what I was doing. And they had liked visiting Burma so much, a couple of years later, they came again. Which of course, I was very happy that they came to see me. And you know, the first time they visited me in Burma, it was also helpful to see me in kind of a natural environment, where being a nun or a monk, you know, is the most ordinary thing you can do. And so then a year after that first visit, for the first time I went to Switzerland. And you know, that visit had been so helpful because yeah, my parents saw me in a natural environment. And so then when I came to Switzerland, it wasn't so strange for them anymore to see me in these funny clothes and with a shaved head. So yes, in the same way, you know, I can assure you, what you are doing, this practice, is the best thing you can do in your life, with your life. And you're so lucky that, you know, you are where you are with your practice, to have encountered the practice and having had opportunities to do intensive retreat with good teachers, having the necessary support. So now I would give, I want, yeah, that we have some time for a round of sharing.
Thank you so much for sharing, and it's been so rich, you know, what has come through your words and through your being. And of course, I know there is much more, but in this limited time that we have, you know, it's so heartening to hear what this has brought to you. So now I would like to do a little forgiveness ceremony, which, you know, in Burma, well, it's not Burma, but being a nun or being a monk, this also always forms a part when one leaves the monastery, you know, for a day or a couple of days or a bit longer. One always asks for forgiveness, so that, you know, everything has been cleared and one can, you know, part with each other, not holding any grudges or resentments. And the way we will do it, I will kind of recite the phrases and you just can, you know, bear them in your heart and do the forgiveness, give the forgiveness, ask for forgiveness. If I have done any wrong to anyone by my actions of speech, by my actions of body, speech, or mind, intentionally or unintentionally, I ask for forgiveness so that I may live in peace and happiness. I also forgive anyone who may have done wrong to me by their actions of body, speech, or mind, in order that they may live in peace and happiness. And now let's do the dedication and sharing of merits. And again, recollecting all the goodness that you have cultivated today during this retreat, during your life. And basically, you know, it's the three pillars of Dana, Sila, and Bhavana. All your goodness, by practicing generosity in whatever way this is, then all the goodness from Sila, from your virtue, ethical conduct, dealing with others in a way of not harming, not hurting them, and the practice of Bhavana, the cultivation of the heart and mind. practice of meditation in its most general sense, and also, of course, in its more specific sense. You know, vipassana bhavana, practice of vipassana meditation, practice of samatha meditation, one-pointedness meditation, which includes the practice of metta meditation or the four Brahma viharas, reflection of death, anapanasati, and so on. So again, bear all this goodness, all this merit in your heart, in your mind, to dedicate it for your practice of liberation, that it may be a supportive condition for full awakening, and sharing it with all living beings, that they too may become completely free from all kinds of suffering, from greed, hatred, and delusion. And if you want to share the merits with specific persons, and this can also be persons who have passed away, parents, partners, friends, whatever, you may specifically recall these persons too, and especially share these merits with them as well. Okay. Through the goodness that arises from my practice, may my spiritual teachers and guides of great virtue, my mother, my father, and my relatives, the sun and the moon, and all virtuous leaders of the world, may the highest gods and evil forces, celestial beings, guardian spirits of the earth, and the Lord of death, may those who are friendly, indifferent, or hostile, may all beings receive the blessings of my life. May they soon attain the threefold bliss and realize the deathless. Through the goodness that arises from my practice and through this act of sharing, may all desires and attachments quickly cease and all harmful states of mind, until I realize Nibbana. In every kind of birth, may I have an upright mind, with mindfulness and wisdom, austerity and vigor. May the forces of delusion not take hold, nor weaken my resolve. The Buddha is my excellent refuge. Unsurpassed is the protection of the Dhamma. The solitary Buddha is my noble guide. The Sangha is my supreme support. Through the supreme power of all this, may darkness and delusion be dispelled. And I will add a Burmese metta chant. Alam tatavadvi chamma chabasi chanda chabasi kosiya gin chabasi seisiya gin chabasi asasa ayaya asimpi chabasi talokalo mashitamya tatavadvi chamma chabasi chanda chabasi Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Yeah. Again, my heartfelt appreciation to the Mountain Hermitage for having invited me to teach this retreat, to Marcia, then Chris and Carol and Kathy and everybody else who might work there in the back to make these retreats possible. And next time I hope to be in Taos, up there in the mountains, with all of you. Tschüss and arrivederci and bye-bye and see you again, wherever, whatever time.